Joel 2, verses 18 to 27. Why the change? Why the change from drought and deadness, dryness, dearth, into fruitfulness, to prosperity, to blessing? We have seen in these verses, we've seen in this entire book, how Judah's lot, Judah's circumstances, would be dramatically changed. I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil, and you'll be satisfied fully. The locusts will be taken away. I will have mercy upon you. I will bless you again. Why? Why this change? Well, the answer is plain in this passage. Joel chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you this, I will do this, I will do the other. It is the sovereign act of a sovereign God, a powerful intervention in God's sovereignty. And it's all to do with the glory and the praise and the honor and the name of God. Then the Lord will be jealous. This is a holy jealousy, of course, taking great care of, showing great love toward. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. It is the sovereign jealousy of God, the sovereign purpose of God, the sovereign determination of God. And it's his people. It's his land. It's his name, you see. Go back to verse 17. Why should they say among the peoples? Why should they be saying what? Where is their God? You see, the dearth, the deadness, the dryness, the poverty of Judah speaks against God. God's name is brought down. God's glory is wrought. And the Lord will have mercy upon his people, upon his land, jealous for his people and his land, for his own name's sake. Not only for the good of the people, of course it's for the good of the people, but above all it's for the glory and the praise of God. Look at verse 27. Well, verse 26. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. My people, my land, my people, my name, the name of the Lord your God. Then you will praise my name, verses 26 and 27. All the I wills, all the sovereign act of God, all the jealousy of God is for his land, his name, his people. Judah gets the blessing, but God gets the glory. I think you see this in the New Covenant even more clearly. No, I don't think it. I know it. Of course it's more clear in the New Covenant. This is the highest revelation of God's glory upon men. Romans 8, Romans 9. Oh, the sovereign act, the sovereign mercy of God, the sovereign grace of God to his people, sinners in Christ. Why? Well, it's for the everlasting salvation of the sinner. It's for his joy and happiness in Christ, and then through this life, and then eternally to be blessed of God. But of course, yes, the sinner gets the blessing, but the glory and the praise and the honor must not be man's, but God's. Why do I preach? Why do I speak this little discourse? Why do I write? Why do I write my books? Why do I read them out? Why do I converse with others? Why do I try to live for the glory of God? That's why. For the glory of God. I want the gospel spread. I want sinners saved. I want churches revived. I want churches reformed. Why? For the glory of God. Yes, for the good and the happiness of man. Yes, but above all, the glory of God. We're talking about God's electing grace, God's purpose, God's sovereignty, from eternity past to eternity future. Then you will know that I am the Lord, that there is no other. That is the gospel. If you're an unbeliever, I want you converted, yes, for your own eternal good, but for the glory and praise of God. But if you will not be converted and glorify God, God will be glorified in your judgment in the final day. I warn you of it. God will be glorified. He will get the glory upon all. If you are a backsliding believer, I want you to return to the Lord. Why? For the glory of God. Yes, you're good, but for the glory of God. Churches to be reformed according to the New Testament, the New Covenant, made into the ecclesia of the New Covenant, to get rid of the Christendom nonsense. Why? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. And so it goes on. I want my life to be for the glory of God. My works, my life, my individual life, all must be for the glory of God. This is the amazing thing. Why the change? What's the cause here? It's not man, it's God. Richard Burnham wrote a hymn on this theme. Oh, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Why to my soul did he convey the blessings of his grace? Oh, how could he so sweetly smile on such a wretch as I who his name did once revile and his dear truth deny? But 'twas because he loved my soul, because he died for me, because that nothing could control his great, his firm decree. Lord, for thy manifested grace, I'll raise a cheerful song, till I shall see thy brighter face midst the celestial throng. And so, unbeliever, come to Christ and thus glorify God in your conversion. Believer, go on serving Christ. Go on magnifying Christ. It is all for the glory of God in Christ. May we live today to the eternal praise and glory of the triune God. Not man, but God. That's the great reason. Why the change? Not man, but God.